This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Joining me this afternoon is Buffalo Police Commissioner Alfonso Wright, Deputy Police Commissioner Patrick Overdorf, Erie County District Attorney Michael Kane, Buffalo Police Department Chief of Detectives Craig Macy, and Fillmore District Council Member Mitch Nowakowski. I want to thank them for their collaboration among these parties. All this collaboration in this case has been critical in assuring that justice will be served. We are here to announce that a formal arrest has been made in the double homicide of Mickey Harmon and Jordan Coletto that took place on Tuesday, March 4th, 2025 on St. Louis Place. As we mentioned at our update the other day, a couple days ago, there was a person of interest in this homicide being held at Erie County Medical Center under Buffalo Police supervision. This morning, Brian Chiclana was discharged from ECMC and immediately taken into custody by the Buffalo Police Department, where he was transported to headquarters and booked, and earlier this afternoon was arraigned in city court. I want to thank everyone at the Erie County Medical Center for their assistance in ensuring a smooth transition between them and the Buffalo Police Department. I want to thank Commissioner Wright, Deputy Commissioner Overdorf, District Attorney Kane, Chief Macy, and the men and women of the Buffalo Police Department for their expeditious and detailed work on this case over the course of the past 2.5 days. As we've come to realize, the nature of these crimes is truly horrific. The senseless and violent nature of them is something that we cannot and will not stand for here in the city of Buffalo. And I want the family, friends, and community members who knew and loved Mickey and Jordan to know that our thoughts and our prayers continue to reside with them. Over the past few days, we've seen firsthand the impact that Mickey and Jordan have had on this community, the outpouring of support, the tributes that have popped up throughout the city of Buffalo and the Allentown community. They were well known, well loved, and the outpouring of support and shared memories from the city of Buffalo and Allentown and the LGBTQ plus community has been overwhelming and a testament to the lives they've lived and the way they lived those lives. For further detail on what's transpired over the course of the past couple of days and this morning, I'd like to bring up to the podium now Chief of Detectives Craig Macy, who will be followed by Erie County District Attorney Michael King.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to first start by offering condolences and echoing the Mayor's comments to the families of Mickey and Jordan. During this whole process, the detectives have heard nothing but glowing comments about your loved ones and your friends. And the detectives throughout this, as well as the police officers, the district attorney, the members at the CPS lab, the Erie County Crime Analysis Center, have worked tirelessly to be able to come to this resolution in such a short period. So I would also like to thank them. There is some rumors that have been going on that have been circulating throughout this process that we have heard by the community, and I'd like to put some of those to rest, right? This suspect did not know the victims. The evidence supports that. The evidence will also show that the suspect was not welcome at their house. This is supported through the suspect trying to get into multiple residents in the area in a very short period of time. The suspect also was found to be trying to get into multiple vehicles in the same time period. So that should put to bed some of those rumors, and we hope put the community at ease that there is no broader fear or targeting concerns. The evidence was ultimately gathered, and it's still being gathered as we speak, and we were able to make an arrest in conjunction with the district attorney's office. Those charges, the district attorney will expand on right now. Thank you.
Chief Macy, thank you. Mayor, thank you very much. And Commissioner and Councilman Nowakowski, I'm here to report that Brian Chiclana, 34 years old from Massachusetts Avenue in the city of Buffalo, was arraigned this afternoon on one count of murder in the first degree and two counts of murder in the second degree for the murders of Mickey Harmon and Jordan Coletto. The allegations are that on Tuesday morning, March 4th, the defendant unlawfully entered into the victim's home on St. Louis Place through a basement window. While in their home, the defendant intentionally struck both victims in their heads with a blunt object. The defendant killed both victims, 40-year-old Mickey Harmon and 30-year-old Jordan Coletto. They were pronounced dead at the scene, and both victims died as a result of the blunt force trauma to their heads. These murders were discovered when Buffalo police officers responded to the scene on St. Louis Place. They responded to a call of a report of a person with a knife. This call was approximately 4:30 in the afternoon. We believe the murders happened early in the morning of that same day, several hours earlier. When Buffalo police arrived at the scene, the defendant was almost immediately taken into custody. The bodies of the victims were discovered in their home in the basement. The defendant allegedly had cut himself with the knife, and so he was transported by ambulance to Erie County Medical Center, where he was treated and where he has remained until this morning under the supervision of the Buffalo Police Department. He had suffered a non-life-threatening injury to his neck. We believe that was self-inflicted, but he has remained at ECMC for the last couple of days, as I said, with the supervision of the Buffalo Police Department. And immediately upon his discharge, we had already, in agreement with the Buffalo Police Department, authorized his arrest, and he was taken into custody this morning. As the mayor indicated and Chief Macy, he was arraigned this afternoon before Judge Aaron Hart, Buffalo City Court judge. He was arraigned on those charges of murder in the first degree and the two counts of murder in the second degree. He faces a maximum sentence of life without parole if convicted of those crimes. I should always state that as all people accused of a crime, this defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty in a court of law. I also want to extend my deepest condolences to the families of the victims and the community at large. I know this is a great loss to our community, and it's hard to make sense of this tragic crime. My office in the Buffalo Police Department will continue to work on this case in a collaborative effort with our partners. Chief Macy mentioned the lab and the Erie Crime Analysis Center. There's a lot of evidence here in this case that is going to be analyzed and continue to be analyzed over the next several weeks as we prepare this case for further prosecution. This is an example of really, really great work by the Buffalo Police Department. Not only the responding officers, the officers that showed up at the scene at St. Louis Place, but detective that I want to specifically identify. Chris Thurlace, Detective Joe Ruggiero, Detective Mark Costantino, Detective Jennifer Zangi, and Sergeant Sean McCabe, all of the Buffalo Police Department for their really diligent and determined work in this case. At this time, I'm done with my remarks. I'm going to turn it back over to Mayor Scanlon. I'm sure you'll have some questions when we're done with our remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, District Attorney King. As we all know, we've all felt over the course of the past few days, these crimes have been heartbreaking and really taken the entire community aback. And because of Mickey and Jordan's roles they played in our community, the Allentown community and the LGBTQ plus community in particular, has taken it particularly hard. One member of city government who represents both of those communities on a daily basis and does a fantastic job, but also dear friends of the victims, and I think it's important to hear from him today, is Fillmore District Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mayor. And I want to reiterate my thanks for the investigation with multiple agencies that made this swift, and that is what's going to keep people at ease, is the quick apprehension and charge of this individual. And why this has really sparked such an outpour is not only because of the love for Mickey and Jordan, is it's an example of an incident that is everyone's worst nightmare, that someone breaks into your home and murders you. And that is what people are really reeling with, because it's everyone's really worst trauma and fear. I want to thank everyone who has put time and diligence in this and making this really expeditious, because I could speak for the community in the sense that everybody wants to see justice for Mickey and Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you. So I just want to reassure the community that the Buffalo Police Department has worked tirelessly to ensure and continues to work tirelessly to ensure the safety of all of our residents. With this arrest and based on the evidence, we want to make it clear that this was an isolated, non-targeted attack. It was not rooted in a hate crime or anything like that. The Buffalo Police Department will, however, remain vigilant and will continue to work this case and pay attention to any leads or any other evidence that does come their way. While the arrest is a critical step forward in the investigation, we know that the healing for this community will take some time. And as mayor of the city of Buffalo, I just want the victims' families, their friends, and the entire community to know that I am here, the city of Buffalo is here, and your neighbors are here should you need anything. With that, I will open it up to any questions.
Can you expand a little bit on the gentleman who was arrested? He was in the neighborhood prior to this and was trying to break in other residences and vehicles. How long was this going on?
Yes, early indications that we have evidence putting him in the neighborhood for about 45 minutes prior to him getting in. Now, I'm not saying that further investigation won't put him there a little bit longer, but that's what we can comfortably say at this point.
And just to clarify, he was just trying to get into random either apartments, houses, buildings, whatever?
That's what the indications show right now, or the evidence shows right now.
Any thought that that might be a suspect in another kind of break-ins?
Like every other case, we continue to investigate, and we will look and see if there's any similarities with burglaries and or reports similar to this.
You mentioned the murders took place in the morning, he was arrested in the afternoon. What happened in between? What do you mean? How early in the morning and late afternoon? What happened in between?
With that, that is a very good question, but there is some details that I'm just not comfortable sharing at this point. We have a pretty good understanding, but we would like to obviously look a little further, but I just can't share that at this point.
The break-ins, though, the other ones, that was before, right? It wasn't after.
I'm comfortable with just saying that we have evidence that there is three residents total in its entirety. I don't want to give a timeline.
We were hearing he had no address, but then we heard Massachusetts Avenue. Is that what you said? Or Massachusetts?
Sure. Like everything, this case has given us a lot of information, and the information just keeps coming. At what point that was reported to us that he did not have a permanent address? There is another person that has provided information of an address on Massachusetts that just happened within the last 45 minutes.
And then, but he also has ties to Michigan or something, right?
He's
working in court?
He does.
Do you know anything about, like, is he homeless? Is he, I mean, we heard no criminal record, right?
So that is part of the ongoing investigation, but there is some stuff that we just cannot share.
Was he in the hospital only for the wound treatment?
So that's a HIPAA answer that, again, we can't share.
Why does the first-degree murder charge?
Because there's two, because he murdered two people at the same time, essentially.
Just to clarify from Adam's question, you saying three residences were broken into?
Either successfully broken into or there was an attempt that we have evidence of.
So this is sounds like a random crime, which is, you know, terrifying. I mean, how do you prevent that?
Yeah, I'll let the mayor of the DA answer that.
I think you can do that through some proactive policing. You know, unfortunately, this is a terrible crime, and you mentioned the randomness of it. It could have been any other house along that street, right? But I know in my conversations with the police commissioner, the deputy police commissioner, they plan on having a more active presence on our commercial corridors and throughout our neighborhoods. So hopefully that will serve as a deterrent to anyone who, for whatever reason, might engage in some activity along these lines.
Now, in Allentown, I was hearing from residents about things like trespassing, about people squatting in the building right across the street. Those are quality of life crimes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about that?
Yeah, I think we have to work with our partners in the community. First of all, if they have information like that, please report it to the police department so they are aware of it. Any other departments they think that might be related to situations that they might be encountering, please relate it to those departments. I can tell you we have a very proactive police commissioner and deputy commissioner here today who want to be out, want their officers out in neighborhoods, making sure that none of these quality of life issues that you're mentioning are taking place, and that on a continuous basis that their officers are out and engaging with and getting to know our residents and business owners throughout the city. So hopefully, as I mentioned, that can serve as a deterrent moving forward.
To your knowledge, the person arrested, are they either active or previously U.S. military?
I don't know the answer to that.
That has not came up.
Do we know drugs and type of intoxicants are involved with any of this? That's
something that we could not answer. You know, I know that question about testing evidence, that the answers to those questions, you know, were specifically prohibited from providing to the media at this stage of the game. So I can't answer that question.
And do you have any sense of what happened? Like he breaks in, they heard something and came downstairs?
That kind of detail, Maki, I would, you know, that will come out at the trial. The answer to those questions, you know, to some extent will come out at the trial. I think it's sufficient to say at this point in time he clearly unlawfully entered into that home. He was not, as I think Chief Macy mentioned, these people did not know each other. The defendant did not know the victims. And while I think, you know, Councilman Nowakowski mentioned it, and you actually raised it in your question. This is this is many people's worst nightmare. It is a, I suppose we are at least fortunate that we have closure to this point in time, and immediately, the very same day that he, committed this, these murders, he was arrested, and he's been in custody essentially ever since.
Regarding crime in the downtown neighborhood, I know obviously there's a heightened sense of awareness because of this, because it is so random. Is there a plan in place to either increase any foot patrols in the area, patrols throughout Allentown or the other districts throughout the city because of the awareness of this?
I can tell you that prior to this unfortunate and terrible incident, those conversations were well underway to make sure that our officers were more active and more visible in our commercial corridors and different neighborhoods throughout the city. So that's underway, and the new commissioner and the deputy commissioner are working on that along with the people they have to work that through. And I want to say to Maki, to your question earlier, I know it can be frustrating when we can't give answers, and I know there are people at home that want answers, that are scared when they hear about things like this. They want answers right away. But one thing I don't want, I'm fairly certain, I don't want to speak for him, I'm fairly certain the district attorney does not want and the chief does not want, is us to say anything that jeopardizes anything with this case. So I know it can be frustrating and people do want answers, but just ask him to please be patient as this situation plays out in court.
Can you say what he used as a blunt
force object? Other than describing it as a blunt force object, I wouldn't want to go any further than that.
Is there any portion of the body cam video from the police response that can be released? I know, obviously, with a trial eventually happening.
Yeah, I mean, we would, you know, similar to what the mayor just said, you know, we want to preserve the integrity of the evidence, and the extent to which it's disclosed to the public could affect the, you know, the prosecution of this case. In addition to, there would obviously be an argument that it would prejudice the defendant even further. So, you know, that's one of the reasons we limit the amount of information that we can share with the public.
And just to clarify, when police arrived, was he still inside or had he come outside?
Yes, he was inside.
Inside, and he had the knife?
He was inside the house. I don't want to say exactly what he was doing.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.